Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast, our second in a week. These are unprecedented scenes. Fortunately, we haven't got that much to talk about, so we should be able to keep this one quite brief. But my name's Michael Bailey, I'm with Paddy Davitt. We're in the pool car at Peterborough Services, which will become a regular haunt, I'm sure, over the coming few months. Norwich City won in the Capital One League Cup second round game at Rotherham United. They won 2-1, but I feel like that's probably not what we should talk about first. So shall we get stuck into all the Lewis Grabban talk straight off the bat, Pad?
What do you want to talk about in particular, Mike?
Well, there's obviously a lot of reports around, and we don't know where Lewis is, which I'm sure is the subject of a comedy Twitter account somewhere. By all accounts, he's had a bit of a falling out, or the manager is keeping quite tight-lipped on that actual situation. But
I mean, ultimately, you know, if you're dealing in facts, then we're not going to find out what exactly has gone on, because Alec Neil was at pains to stress it's going to be kept in-house, and you can draw parallels with Bassong, you know, when he came back, and there was clearly issues there with the previous manager, and that was all kept in-house, and he got him on the straight and narrow again. So we probably won't know the full chapter and verse. That's the nature of it, and why would we? You know, they're not going to want to air their dirty linen, as it were, in public. Well, no football club would want to do that. But the reality is, I don't think it's a leap of faith to suggest that it clearly has been a major breakdown there in the relationship. We know, again, dealing in fact, there's three bids from Bournemouth. They clearly want to bring him back. Either that or they're making mischief, to paraphrase Mark Hughes, with what he accused Norwich of doing with John Walters last weekend. So clearly the lad's not playing at the minute. Cameron Jerome is the main man. Whether he feels a little bit unloved and he quite fancies going back to the South Coast and being part of that, then you could understand maybe his head wasn't quite right yesterday, because that's when the third bid, we're led to believe, came in and was rejected. Alec Neil clearly is maybe intimated that if he's not quite in the right place mentally, he's not going to be featuring at Rotherham. And then we're into the realms of conjecture, really, and reports. You know, he's apparently taken that news rather poorly and declined to be part of the travelling contingent at Rotherham to sit in the stand. So if that is exactly what's happened, then I fear for him, because this manager is not going to take that. You know, this is now a challenge to his authority, because you can bottom line rest assured the rest of those players will be waiting to see how he handles it now. It's the first probably direct challenge he's had to his authority, and certainly just listening to the guy yesterday post-match, he wasn't in the mood to accommodate, shall we say, any whims of one individual player. So what he did stress was Bournemouth's bid has been rejected again. Until they get into the figures that they feel Lewis Grabban is valued at, then they can forget it. But I still think, even if they do talk proper money in Norwich's terms, why would you give Lewis Grabban to a potential rival? It makes no sense whatsoever. Obviously, then flowing from that is, well, if they have others lined up, they might look at it and think, well, we'll get decent money for him and we'll use that to bring in another. But none of that will become clear for another 5 or 6 days. And I can't wait, personally, until that window closes, because I'm absolutely sick of it. It's just a complete daily, hourly rumour mill. And frankly, I'm bored with it now. So, you know, roll on next Tuesday, and then we'll know for definite then whether Messrs Grabban and Hooper are with us or not with us, and also who else is coming to the building.
Quiet. You'd love to think that all the noises about the transfer window, that it should shut before the season starts, would actually bring about some tangible change, but I can't see it happening somehow. £5.5 million, I think, was the suggested amount.
Seems
of
to be, yeah.
The last bid. And as far as Alec Neil's said, they want, that's nowhere near their valuation. To me, he did sound a little bit looser about letting him out to a rival now. But even then, I mean, how much money? I mean, that seems reasonable, I suppose. But I guess if we bring it back to someone like Tyrone Mings and £8 million, and Bournemouth aren't short of money, you would say it's probably going to take a lot.
Well, yeah, but to me, that's almost a side issue now. This is about authority, and is the tail wagging the dog, or vice versa. If anybody thinks Alec Neil and David McNally are going to be dictated to by a player and his representative, they've badly miscalculated. So if the object of the exercise, and again we have to stress this is obviously conjecture, what's gone on events prior to Tuesday night's game, but if that is the way it's panned out, then that to me isn't how you extricate yourself from a football club. So I almost think now that they on principle they won't entertain it unless Bournemouth offer them ridiculous money. And again, he stressed last night, every player, doesn't matter whether it's Lewis Grabban or Gary Hooper or, you know, Ronaldo, they all have their price. So, you know, really, I guess they've put the ball firmly back in Bournemouth's court.
Still dealing in conjecture, is it the end of the road for Lewis Grabban no matter what? Because I get the feeling that it's hard, isn't it? Because say with something like Sebastian Bissong, they were issues that were with a previous managers or whatever. It wasn't, the past was in the past because it wasn't Alec Neil's past.
Yeah.
But if in this case it is Alec Neil's past.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is now, for me, the first real test of his authority, because it's been, well, ridiculously serene progress on the pitch and off the pitch. You know, last season we would air every week queue of Norwich players eulogising about what an unbelievable manager he is and what an impact he'd had on that group of men. So this is the first, if you like, kink in the road. And I would imagine the way he operates, we know he's a very strong character. If this is a challenge to his authority, then he needs to be seen to be dealing with it. It wasn't kind of the same scenario as the Bissong. For me, you say, how will this play out now? I think the fans will have a lot of say in this, because they'll deliver their own verdicts. You know, he's probably very fortunate that this weekend they're away at Southampton, because if they were at Carrow Road, I wouldn't like to feel what sort of reception he'd get when he emerged from... he clearly wouldn't start ahead of Jerome on what we've the evidence of the last few games, but if he was to emerge for a gentle warm-up in front of the snake pit, I'm pretty sure what the reaction would be.
Well, I think it's probably also fair to say that Lewis's favour with some City fans wasn't maybe as high as it could have been as well in the start, you know, before this last week. So we will see. I mean, the other thing is that you sort of touched on it earlier, the reports that Gary Hooper is busying himself in Sheffield ahead of a season-long loan move, which, you know, makes sense if you've got Lewis Grabban and Cameron Jerome available.
Yeah.
And we'll get on to Ricky in a moment, of course. And Kyle Lafferty still to come back. Don't forget Kyle. No one's allowed to forget Kyle, as he keeps tweeting. But, to me, you can't contemplate selling Lewis Grabban, a player who, by all accounts, doesn't want to be here, and then Gary Hooper as well.
Well, not if you haven't got A, somebody lined up, or B, very confident that they're going to have somebody lined up. This is what I'm saying now. Here now, we're almost in a holding pattern. You know, we're a week out from the window, and as difficult as it is to say at the minute, it is almost a case of let's just see how this plays out, because there's no point in, you know, opining that this scenario or that scenario is going to happen, because you just don't know. There's so much going on behind the scenes, not just Norwich but every club now. You know, we're into the, I think I tweeted it the other day, we're into the brinkmanship stage now. This window, it happens every transfer window, particularly the summer one, because it's an elongated period of time, but there's a lot of hot air, and then it's only really, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of actual tangible movement in the final few days, and that's where we are now. So you know, the reality is Norwich are trying to do business, and if they do the business, then you could then foresee a Hooper, for example, going out on loan. Also worth pointing out, you know, the loan aspect, well, that doesn't have to be done in the next five or six days. You know, I think the mechanics of that is the official window closes, and then a week or two later it opens for the emergency loan. So to me, that given that Norwich aren't actually got anybody over the line yet, striker-wise, why would you let Hooper go when you can basically sit there for another 2 weeks, and then, but by that stage, they'll know definitely what their own situation is looking like. And also, you know, the caveat with that is, yes, it did seem that Hooper to Sheffield Wednesday was pretty much penciled in, just waiting to be inked in. And this might now throw a cat amongst the pigeons with Grabban, because clearly, if you've got one unhappy striker, are you going to let another striker out? That doesn't make a great deal of sense.
No,
and you haven't brought one in the meantime.
No. Obviously, the loan window is just a Football League thing, isn't it? So if Lewis wanted to go to Bournemouth, that won't be happening outside of the transfer.
No, window. But I mean, if Hooper went and, you know, we'll say they bring in another striker, you've got Jerome, another striker, grabbing Van Wolfswinkel and Lafferty, you'd be more than well stocked there, wouldn't you? So
indeed. I think Kenny Jackett confirmed Wolves rejected Norwich City's second bid for Benik Afobe, and they plan to still have him there when the window closes. I guess, you know, well, clubs like players, you know, making things easier for them. So much like Bournemouth have waited for Lewis Grubben to do his thing.
Yeah.
You, well, who knows? But we'll see what more comes with that one, of course. Let's have a bit of what Alec Neil said after the win against Rotherham last night.
Made quite a few changes, and over the course of 98 minutes, we managed to get most of the players that haven't been featuring some time on the pitch. So I thought they did. I thought he applied himself really well. Harry Toffler obviously making his debut for the club, which is great. And then Ricky Van Wolfswinkel getting his goal, which is fantastic. And he's worked extremely hard over the last few weeks since he's been back, and his attitude has been first class, and he's been rewarded with a start and a goal. Ricky's a Norwich player, you know, and he works as hard as everybody else, so I think the guy deserves a break. And he can keep showing a good attitude and going about his business the right way, then he's part of your squad. The one thing we don't do is talk about sort of business that should be dealt with behind closed doors in public. We've never done it, and we'll continue not to do it. So Lewis obviously wasn't with the squad tonight, and that matter will get dealt with internally. Lewis Grubben at the moment is, there's been bids made by Bournemouth for Lewis Grubben. The bids are nowhere near a valuation of Lewis Grubben, and while that remains the case, Lewis Grubben will be a Norwich player. End of story. Doesn't affect anything. I don't look overly concerned about it. The squad are not concerned about it, and we push on. We won the game. I thought we merited our win, and I was really pleased with the lads who got their opportunity tonight. We've got a lot of really good players that are not being involved at the moment, and they're a bit unfortunate because I can only pick 11 players, and the guys who are playing really well. So all they can do is stake their claim, keep doing what they're doing, show a good attitude, work really hard, and their chance or opportunity will come, and it's up for them to take it.
Okay, let's talk about the football then. Norwich won, so they're into the third round. It's a cup run now. I've declared it. Two games, it's a cup run. They'll play West Brom at Carrow Road in the third round, mid-September. In terms of the game at New York Stadium, I suppose it's best running through various players as the discussion points.
Yep.
Debut for Harry Toffolo, who did very well again.
Yeah, no, I think that every outing he gets now, whether it was pre-season or last night, he basically shows the value of what he experienced at League One with Swindon. He could quite, in my opinion, quite comfortably hold his own in the Championship, which is who he was playing against last night.
Yeah.
And I think you would feel that once Olsen is fit, that might be, again, to hark back to what we were just saying a minute ago, that might be a route for him, because he really needs to be playing football now. I don't think another season development level at Colney is going to do him any favours whatsoever. He's too good for that now. So yeah, that's very encouraging for the future, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. I wonder if, much like with the Murphys, they will want him to sign a new contract before they let him out on loan, because then you've got the security of that, haven't you? Because clearly he's got a lot about him.
Well, there's definitely talks ongoing, because I mean, I asked him that 2 weeks ago, and he said yeah, he's definitely one they want to tie down. But and you would hope from Harry and his advisor's point of view that he can see that Norwich is a good club to, you know, and I don't see why it wouldn't be. You know, he's come through, he knows the place inside out, and he will get opportunities here. You have to remember, I think he's, from everything you see and hear from him, he's a very switched on young man. He's got a good head on his shoulders, so I don't think he'll be 19 going on, I demand to be in the first team, and like maybe one or two others at the top end of the pitch. So, yeah, I think I can see that getting signed and sealed, and then, yeah, a Championship loan, I think.
Declan Rudd was in goal. He got the start, 8 changes that Alec Neil made. I thought Declan was brilliant, and I think the key word was the one that Alec used. He said about how he was mature.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, no, make no mistake, he probably was the difference between them going through and, well, certainly having to go through the rigmarole of extra time and penalties. He made a string of fine stops, and I know Steve Evans is given to a little bit of hyperbole, but he basically said post-match it was the best display from any keeper he'd seen at that stadium. So that tells you all you need to know. I think we've been witnesses to a smash, my man.
Well, I just heard it. Yeah, a bit of a crash. It's I thought it was a BMW, but it's not. It's a Skoda. It's all kicking off in Peterborough Services car park.
A lot of stress and tension, man.
They're probably just worried about where Lewis Grubben is, to be honest. So well, we done. Declan Rudd. Who else? What, Vadis. Well, no, we'll get to Ricky.
Like a Vadis.
We'll get to Ricky.
Vadis.
Yeah. He probably was my man of the match last night.
No, not outfield man of the match.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah, no, he was. Yeah, again, he was good, but just with him again, I just feel you have to caveat it with the playing of an average to pretty poor championship side. So, you know, if he was making that impact at Premier League level, but then the chicken and egg of that is he going to get any opportunities? Because he's not going to dislodge any of the current midfielders, but he certainly did all he could do in that environment. I mean, there was the assist for Housen. He has got. You can tell he's got ability in terms of his passing range as well. Yeah. For me, it's just even though he's got a fantastic physique, it's just the athleticism really and the physicality of it. And Alec Neil's alluded to that really, you know. But in his defence, he's obviously had a bit of a stop start with injury, so it is difficult to get into your stride. But yeah, it's a difficult one because he clearly has ability, and you would think he might be able to influence at Premier League level, but will he get the opportunity? That's the top and bottom of it.
Did keep the ball very well and used it very well, I thought. Yeah. Definitely in the highlights. Who else should we... should we mention Ricky?
Why not, mate? You're dying to, I can tell.
No, I just, you know, with happy
good
for
reason.
Him.
With good reason, yeah. No.
Now, I mean, I think it's fair to say that Alec Neil said in the summer after he'd had a get for going pre-season that the ball was in Ricky's court. I think the ball finally arrived properly in his court last night. You know, even myself, I'm a bit of a Ricky fan. I like him as a person. It's still bits that just don't convince, and you can always see those. But there were signs of promise, a lot of signs of promise, and also from the way Alex spoke about him afterwards. But I guess he kind of has to do that with everything else that's going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it was pointed out to him post-match, he didn't have any strikers on the bench at all, did he? So, you know, you need to keep one of them in the fold anyway, that's for sure. But yeah, no, he did what he had to do, really. You know, he made his mark. It wasn't the most difficult goal, but then I would look at that it was that instinct to be there in the right place and to anticipate and get across the defender. Now, you might say, well, it was a pretty straightforward finish, and it might even be an element where it just kind of hit him, but you have to have that instinct as a striker to be in those positions and anticipate that. And we saw that again in pre-season as well. I mean, all it boils down to is, clearly he's a type of striker where you don't feel, on the evidence, what we've seen under Alec Neil, he's the type of Alec Neil striker because he doesn't offer you a great deal outside the box. Albeit, having said that, there was one or two excellent touches. I remember one ball he brought down out of the sky, set up a counter for Bradley Johnson. He should have scored just a minute before he scored, actually, last night. So he can do it, but I just think at Premier League level against Premier League defenders, it's a little bit too easy for them outside the box. Inside the box, I think there's something there, and his pedigree tells you that, and his record, his goal scoring record, albeit not in England, yes, but as Alec Neil said, you don't go for $8.5 million, and you might say, well, that was Norwich who were paying that, but you don't go for those type of fees, and you weren't linked with Man United, which he was done, you know, a year or so before he'd moved to Norwich. If you've not got something about you, you always feel with him it's very fragile confidence, you know. Yeah. he's very brittle. We don't know him personally, do we, at all? We don't get to speak to him a huge amount of times, but it's almost that he's the one where you need the arm around his shoulder and to be told how good he is, and I'm not quite sure that would be Alec Neil's management, really, to do that. But there is no doubt, and he showed again last night, that there is a striker there who can score goals, but it's how do you accommodate him within the team framework, and I think that's what Alec Neil would have to weigh up. And so far, Premier League wise, he hasn't felt he can do that. So whether clearly last night is, and what happened away from the game, whether that influences his selections for Sunday, time will tell.
It's completely about how you use him. I do think that, I mean, if you're going to be lugging balls into the air, he's in close attentions with the defender.
Yeah.
He's either going to end up on the floor or losing the ball. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you're getting the ball up to him, maybe sort of so he can take it down, and he's got a bit of space, he will turn and he will use it really well. You also need to trying to play him into space, and he had a good chance in the first half where he had great movement to move away from the defender
in the channel,
and Johnson played him in. It was a decent save, again a slight lack of conviction there, but and again a lovely ball in 6 yards out. You know, there's a couple of those chances that Norwich have already missed this season in the Premier League. and Wiki has proven, I think, in places that he can do that. So I think he can do a degree of work outside the box, but if you're looking at a focal point and a battering ram with a, not the ideal term, but you know, someone of the strength of Cameron Jerome, you're not going to get that from Wiki, like you said. But here we go, horses for courses.
What an option. I mean, you're thinking more home games rather than away by nature of Norwich trying to compete in the Premier League. They're not going to be as dominant away, and we saw that, you know, Saturday gone against Stoke. If you had him on the bench, I'm just thinking, and it was a 20-minute, 25-minute shift you wanted from him, and you were on the front foot as a team and creating chances, why wouldn't you want him in on the end of some of those balls from Brady or Nathan Redmond? Just to, that could make the difference, you know, both for him and for Norwich in a game. So why not have that option?
I have one remaining issue. I still think there's a hangover at Carrow Road for him. I still think that psychologically he's been so frazzled by, you know, some of the things that have gone on with him at Carrow Road. You know, just like the epitome of him being through one-on-one in the friendly against West Ham.
Yeah.
And you could just see the whole weight of 2 years going through his head as he hit that shot. I think he just needs a goal at Carrow Road at some point. Obviously needs an opportunity first as well, but we'll see. Anyway, I'm a bit worried that things are going to, you know, that this podcast is going to be out of date in some elements by the time we get back to Norwich, knowing what it's been like the last few days. But we should also go home, shouldn't we, really?
Yeah, via the office.
Obviously,
to do some more work.
We haven't finished working yet.
No.
All right then. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Southampton away on Sunday lunchtime, 1:30 kickoff. Live coverage at Pinken.com. Of course, there's usual Mustard TV stuff or Paddy stuff on Pinken.com and in the newspapers. Of course, don't forget newspapers. And and that is it, I think. Southampton play on Thursday night in the Europa League, so that'll be interesting. Right, we're going. Cheers, Pad.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks all for listening. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.